This is a BloomerBoomer.com podcast with host Andy Asher. It's about news, information, ideas, and tips for living life over 55.
Well, hi, everyone. We've all had those milestone birthdays. You probably remember them. When you first hit 30, well, you think that's when you're old for the first time, and then older people laugh at you for saying that. And then 40 rolls around, and of course it depends on where your life is at that moment in time from your own personal perspective. And then 50, well, that's when things sink in that you definitely aren't a kid anymore. In fact, you're now facing the downward slant to life, which tends to get your attention, doesn't it? So that's where this series of interviews begins. Actually, it's 55, because Bloomer Boomer is about living life over 55, but of course, who's counting? In any case, we want to explore the things that engage you, your passions about life over 55, hobbies, loved ones, frustrations, your challenges, your reinventions, and the point being here is that what's different now than before that so-called milestone, the big 5-0? So I think our first interview really can set the tone for this series because she's a mom, she has a balanced career with a life, made the most of what she could to this point, and today, well, we will let Nancy Schenker pick up from there. But first, Nancy, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Yeah, I will reveal my age. I just turned 58 on February 10th, and honestly, I have never had more energy or been more optimistic and wake up every day looking forward to what that day brings. And part of, I think, what was a life-changing experience for me is I lost my dad. He was fairly young. He was 64 and never really got to do many of the things that he had planned on doing in the second half of his life. And that is sort of how I think about my life now, as, you know, I'm basically sort of at the midway point. I hope to live to be at least 100. And career-wise and personally, I still have 5 decades worth of goals that I've set for myself, again, both professionally and personally.
Nancy, it sounds like your dad's life and early death had an inspirational effect on you, but it also appears that you have quite an inner drive, too.
Possibly. I mean, my mother tells me that even as a little girl, I was always making lists of things that I was going to do and what I wanted to accomplish. Although, you know, that said, it's not necessarily genetically programmed that anybody who decides at the age of 50 that they have things that they've yet to achieve, I think can train themselves to be goal-oriented. And my day job is I run my own marketing consulting company called The On Switch, and I work with a lot of late-life entrepreneurs like myself. I started my business when I was 48, and part of what I do is, you know, continually give them pep talks and set up processes so that they can achieve the things that they still want to achieve in their lives, regardless of what they may have done with the first 30, 40, 50 years that they've been on Earth.
Oh, that's interesting. So you surround yourself with perhaps people close to your generation.
Yeah, so actually sort of a mixed bag. I would say that I probably have as many millennial friends and connections as I do boomer friends and connections, and I really think that having that balance is essential. And many people around my age will sort of poo-poo the younger generation and say unflattering things about them, but when you look at what some folks in that age group have been able to achieve, you know, you look at somebody like a Mark Zuckerberg or some of these other very successful young entrepreneurs, I think that, you know, we older folks have a lot that we can learn from them in terms of risk-taking and imagination. So to me, the perfect combination is having as many 20-something friends as you have 50-something friends. In fact, the place where I have my office is sort of like an incubator, and it's mostly younger people, which tends to keep me very young and vibrant and enthusiastic.
What is your mindset today, for example, as opposed to what it might have been 10, 20, 30 years ago in terms of, you know, the taking risks, in terms of your goal desires? How much have they changed?
Well, I think that women my age grew up in a very interesting era, and I look at my contemporaries, my girlfriends from that group, and although some of them did stay home to raise their children, it was also a generation where we were programmed to want to have careers and families. And so I think more so probably than any other generation that's come before, women my age have actually been able to live several different lives. So, for example, I started out of college in my 20s pursuing a career as a corporate executive, at the same time raising two daughters. So I was that classic 80s superwoman. And then when I finally got to a C-level in corporate America, I realized that it wasn't fulfilling, and so I started my own business at 48. And then once I got that taste of entrepreneurship, and at the same time being able to spend more time with my daughters while they were growing up, and being able to do that because of the advent of technology, which is something I couldn't have done when they were younger. You know, there was no option of working remotely when you were having kids because there was no remote. And now, with the advent of the social media era, I've sort of reinvented myself again. And a lot of my consulting work has to do with teaching people of my generation how to use various social media applications. So, long story short, I think that women of my generation, many of us are reinventing ourselves after our kids get older and become self-sufficient, and we say, well, what do I really want to do now that I'm grown up?
And not having the same responsibility with younger kids, do you have any sense of more freedom?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I do think that even young women, and again, as I said, I have a lot of friends in their 20s and 30s, have so many more options than I did when I was starting my career. And I do think, again, it's important for women and men of the boomer generation to embrace the younger generation and help them to benefit from some of our life lessons.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying. The millennials or whatever generation can learn from the baby boomers and vice versa.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I often joke around that this young generation, because they grew up in an era of video games and things, you know, that were seemingly impossible, being possible, they have much more of a sense of being able to suspend reality. And because they aren't as grounded in absolutes and rules and regulations, their imaginations are able to run wild. And again, I think that it's a lesson that many boomers can benefit from, and not being as wedded in what has happened in the past and instead creating a new future.
Of course, like so many things in life, it's a lot easier said than done, because after all, change is so difficult for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Change is painful and change is stressful. And you have to force yourself, and you have to feel like you've got enough of an incentive to want to do it or need to do it.
And Nancy, the other day I was sitting in the waiting room of my doctor's office, and there was a woman sitting nearby. I was working on my smartphone doing something or another, and she leaned over to me and kind of proudly said that she doesn't have anything to do with those kind of fancy things. And, you know, it struck me, rather than trying to educate her as to what some of the benefits are to these kind of smartphones, it occurred that she's like so many others, really, that change is so difficult.
Absolutely, and I think that the way in which we learn, you know, we grew up learning in a different way. We didn't learn by trying things. We learned by having teachers and mentors and people showing us how to do things. So what I often say is, if you're going to embrace something really new and different, you just need to find a a patient, understanding teacher who will help you along on that journey. For example, I have never run in my life. I've always, the thought of running, just the thinking about it hurts my knees. But one of the things that I challenged myself to do this year is to learn how to run. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to be in marathons or Ironwoman competitions at any point soon, but it's been tremendously rewarding just looking down at the speed on the treadmill and thinking, wow, you know, at 58, I am running for the first time.
Well, congratulations. That is a big achievement. And to the boomer generation are statistically going to have many years ahead of them. And so more than likely for people who haven't adopted the new media, it's something that don't you think they're going to have to face that? And maybe we can tied onto that is they have to realize, or we have to realize, what the benefits are to understanding the new media.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, so many boomers, you know, will fixate on the fact that it's dehumanizing and that it's technology, but as so many families are living a distance apart, it could be amazingly connecting to be able to Skype with a grandchild, or to see pictures of a relative's baby minutes after it's born, which are things that were impossible previously without technology. And my older brother recently found a YouTube video of my father giving an interview. And, you know, as I said, my father has, you know, died about 20 years ago, but my daughter, who'd never met my father, was able to see him alive through the benefits of technology. So I think it's important sometimes that, you know, rather than saying, oh, this, you know, newfangled stuff, it's, you know, it separates us, it cuts us off from other people, to instead focus on the positive aspects of it and how it could actually be connecting, especially as people live further distances from each other.
And even in our lifetime, we're going to see some dramatic changes in technology.
Yeah, absolutely. And from a business standpoint, you know, just being able to get information, or in terms of the website that you have, you know, connecting people with knowledge, connecting people with other people, it just is a different medium for delivering information and insights.
Yeah, let's see. Why don't we jump into what you're doing, because it sort of dovetails into what we've just been talking about. You are really in the business of helping. Well, you tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure, absolutely. My business actually has three parts to it. One is a marketing consulting company where I work primarily with small and mid-sized businesses, helping them grow, helping them realize their dreams, helping them rebrand. And I'm pretty much doing what I did in corporate life as a marketing executive, except I'm doing it for small companies as opposed to big brands, and I really enjoy that kind of work. I almost went to psychology grad school. I thought about being in the helping professions, and there's something tremendously rewarding about helping business owners grow their businesses. The second part is what we were just talking about, and I teach workshops and do presentations about social media for boomers. And one of the techniques that I use, which seems to work really, really well, is I'm able to draw parallels between some of these new media and things that existed before the days of technology. For example, if you think about Twitter as a different form of radio station, or Pinterest as the old-fashioned scrapbook. It helps when I'm doing my teaching to put some of these technologies in the context of things that have already existed. They're just existing in a different form.
Interesting parallels, Pinterest to scrapbooks and Twitter to radio.
Exactly. And you can always turn the station if you don't like what you're hearing. And actually, on my new website, which is TheOnSwitch.com, TheOnSwitch, there's a video that I produced about the history of marketing. And in doing it, I realized that as much as certain things have changed, there's certain timeless truths that have really withstood the the test of time, even going back to caveman days. And then, so that's really what I've been doing primarily for boomers. And then the third part of my business is having two daughters of my own, having helped them through college application process, choosing what they were going to study in school, helping them in their career formation and their adjusting to the working world. I also mentor specifically young women, and I wrote a book a couple of years back for young women entering the workforce called Don't Hook Up with the Dude in the Next Cube, 200-plus career secrets for new grads, or for 20-somethings, I'm sorry. And I really do enjoy sort of giving back by helping young people, men and women, make that transition into the working world.
So, Nancy, let's look down the road a little ways. You see yourself still focused a lot on what you're doing now with your company, or what else do you see ahead of you?
Well, one of the reasons why I started doing more teaching and speaking is that I do love to travel. And ironically, when I was starting my career in my 20s, I did a lot of business travel before I had kids, and I got to see a lot of really interesting places in the world and meet a lot of people and still have it somewhat related to my work. So I was making a living and seeing great new places. So in some ways it's ironic that I've come back to that phase now that my kids are older, and I always like to do those things. I know I'm just doing them in a different context. I would say over the last couple of years, put much more of a value on personal time. And I do make an effort several times a week to do something that really is just for me, whether it's exercising or planning a vacation or reading a great book or going to the movies or learning to cook something new. I do think it's important that that balance between work and play is always there.
And Nancy, just to pick up on something you talked about a little bit earlier, you mentioned reinventing yourself, and I guess that's a skill we all have to learn and practice and get good at.
It is. And sometimes it's not, you know, the term reinventing sometimes implies that you're creating something from scratch. And as I was going through my various career transitions, rather than creating something all new, I took a step way back and said, what are the things that I've always enjoyed doing? What am I good at? What am I passionate about? And not even thinking in terms of a particular job or a particular career path, but first identifying what are those things that make me, that I really can contribute. And then after you do that, saying, all right, what are the jobs that exist where those skills, where those passions can actually result in a paycheck.
Well, great, Nancy. And as we close out today, maybe a point or two about what someone who's reaching some milestone in life, how they might approach the next step.
You know, if somebody's really sort of grappling with that, then I would advise them to either reach out to a close circle of friends or see a career counselor or a professional life coach and go through that process where you're really digging deep and saying, what is it that I have to give? And I do sadly see a lot of people who are 50 and older who may have lost their jobs or been defeated through something that's happened in their lives just give up and, you know, keep waiting for things to be the way they used to be. And that's just not going to happen. I mean, I worked in corporate life for a lot of years. I, you know, saw more downsizings and firings than I would ever like to see again. And the survivors were the people who said, all right, you know, that was the past, that was then, this is now. What is it that I need to do to become valuable and make a contribution? And I do think that we went through an era in business where there was a lot of ageism, you know, with the advent of social media. A lot of my clients were running out and hiring recent college grads to run their social media programs. And I do see the pendulum starting to swing back where there is more respect for, you know, what I call us gray hairs people who've lived a long time and have a certain wisdom and a certain perspective. And if our generation can learn to use some of the new age digital tools, then to me that is the silver bullet.
Well, it's Nancy Shenkar. She is a mother, a daughter, a founder of a company called The On Switch, theonswitch.com, with a message of experience, pragmatism, and motivation. Well, Nancy, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to our BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts, and you can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Oh, and we encourage you to leave a comment in the podcast reply section. And finally, we would love it if you'd register to receive our newsletter. Thanks again.